Can we chant the first three shlokas together? Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Ye shastra vidhi mrutrajya. Yajante shraddhayanvitaha.
Yajante shraddhayanvitaha.
Tesham nishthatuka Krishna.
Tesham nishthatuka Krishna.
Sattvamaho rajastamaha.
Sattvamaho rajastamaha.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha.
Trividha bhavati shraddha.
Trividha bhavati shraddha.
Dehinam sasa bhavaja.
Dehinam sasa bhavaja.
Sattviki rajasi chaiva.
Sattviki rajasi chaiva.
Tamasi cheti tam shrunu.
Tamasi cheti tam shrunu.
Sattvanurupa sarvasya.
Sattvanurupa sarvasya.
Shraddha bhavati bharata.
Shraddha bhavati bharata.
Shraddha mayo ayam purushaha.
Shraddha mayo ayam purushaha.
Yo yat shraddha sa eva saha.
Yo yat shraddha
sa eva cha. Arjuna approached Bhagwan in the field of Kurukshetra, asking questions, what do I do? He asked these questions as a Kshatriya. He was born in a Kshatriya clan. He asked this question as a one who is protector of Dharma, to do what is right. And he asked this question as Krishna's friend and disciple. He had this question at the time when he was confused and he needed direction. And he had the wisdom of asking this question to the Lord. Same thing happens to us also when we are confused, when we seek direction, when we seek help. And then we turn towards our literature, our scriptures. So Bhagwan has answered his questions back and forth, up to the 15th chapter, where Bhagwan has said, everything is me. I am everywhere. Maya tatam idam sarvam. What you see, what you hear, what you feel is me and me alone. I am the creator of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Vedas. I am the Veda. Know me in this manner. Yo mameva sammoola janati purushottama sa sarva vid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. The one who comes to me with this, knows me, gets liberated. So here, Bhagwan has said everything. What more do we need to know? There is nothing left to be known. The teaching is there, has ended essentially in the 15th chapter, Purushottam Yoga. But like us, Arjuna also had further questions. How to do that? We know, in theory, the knowledge is there, but we are still not able to get it. What is the reason we are not able to get the teaching that Bhagwan has already gave from his mouth? Why are we not able to get it? So, to help that, Bhagwan has done these three extra chapters, 16, 17 and 18, to help us know why are we not able to grasp that knowledge. That is the whole idea of these last three chapters, to tell us where we stand. You know how we take self-assessment test And this is as for us and us only, for as individual, me as an individual who came to this world as an individual, was going to go when dead, leaving this body as an individual. No father, no husband, no wife, no mother, children, beta, beti, chacha, chachi, mama, bhanji. We are all here on our lone journey. This is what we have to do for ourselves. No matter people may think, people may look upon us as a crazy person doing this, doing these weird practices. But as long as we know that we are doing this within the parameters of our shastras, and it is helping in my spiritual unfoldment, that is what matters. Because nobody is going to help. We all know the story of Ratnakar, Vishwamitra. When he finally stumbled upon Narada, and Bhagwan Narada asked, why are you doing all this robberies and killing people? His answer was, I'm helping my family. Bhagwan said, no, that's not true. Go and ask your family. Are they going to, you know, take upon your sins? He said, of course I'll go and ask. His wife and his children refused. No, we are not going to take part in your sins that you have done in your life. And that's what opened his eyes. So that's when made the transformation of Ratnakar to Vishwamitra. The point is, we think that we are doing this for our family, husband, wife, children. It's not like that. We are just trapping ourselves more and more in this bondage. We have to do this for us and us alone. So how to do that are these last three chapters. And Bhagwan in 16th chapter talked about the Devi and the Asuri Sampatti, the people with Devi qualities, with Devi Sampatti, come to the Lord, get liberated, and the Asuri Sampatti people, they get more and more entangled in this world full of bondage, and they go downhill from that point onwards. And ending the 16th chapter, it was mentioned the Shastras are the final authority. They are the manual of living that we have to follow. Like everything that has to have certain directions on how to do things. Like to build this building, there's a manual of architect. We have to follow certain rules and regulations. The wall goes like this, the plumbing goes like this. Same thing for us also. The manual of living is our Shastra. The more we abide in it, the less mistakes we are going to do. It's as simple as that. In this age and world, when we talk about Shastras, you know, so many of our households don't even have a Shastra. Speaking in simple language, a Shastra, a book of physics or chemistry, we loosely called it as a Shastra, like a Rasayan Shastra or a Bhautik Shastra or a Vanya Shastra, Prani Shastra. But the Shastra, the essential components, I think the 7 or 9 essential components of a Shastra, which tells us about our self-nature, our own unfoldment. It has 6 or 7 aspects. It should have a teacher. It should have a student. The teacher approaches the student. Teacher gives the knowledge. The student asks the questions. Teacher is solving those questions, and then the student is applying that to the life. So there are like 7 or 9 components of a Shastra. These are the essential aspects of a Shastra. And the simplest thing is, I don't have it, but a green book, Bhagavad Gita, is a Shastra. So we have to have at least this Shastra in our home, at our home. Other Shastras, of course, are our Upanishads, Vedas. But this is the simplest one to achieve. You know, we think of Shastra, who's going to get it, obsolete. But this is a Shastra that we have. So the 16th chapter ended with that element that Shastra are the final authorities. And then the 17th chapter, of course, begins with a Arjuna's question. In very simple language, in one-liners each, first, second, and third shloka that Anilji has done, Arjuna is asking, hey Lord, those people who have faith, but they don't have any shastra or they don't follow any shastra, what happens to them? Simple translation of that shloka. And Bhagavan is saying in the second shloka, there are three kind of faiths: sattva, rajas, and tamas. And in the third one, he very simply puts it as, whatever nature of a person is, whatever his vasanas are, that's how his faith is going to be. Simple one-liners, just to understand this. But if we look at it deeper, it will help us with our own sadhana. And we'll just briefly touch upon that also, why we have to do this. What is the importance of these three chapters? So, those people who have faith, but they don't have any shastra. So there are two aspects, faith and shastra, shraddha and shastra. There are people who have both shraddha, faith, and shastra scriptures, and they follow that to the T. They are the people with devi qualities. They are the ones who achieve liberation, freedom, get rid of the bondage. Then there are people who don't have shraddha and they don't follow shastras. They are the other extreme. They go downhill. Then there are certain people who know shastra, but they don't have any shraddha. So those people use shastric knowledge for their own purpose. You know, either professors or academicians or literature or, you know, doing something else, but without any faith. And then there are masses like us who have some shraddha, but we don't have a shastra. What do we do? How do we do? Are we doing the right thing? Are we making any mistake or not? So these are the two extremes. In general, we all have some shraddha. Some shraddha in the sense like in our mission when we come, like the husband may or the wife may have the shraddha. She comes to the mission. Husband has no shraddha, but he tags along. Okay, you are going, I'll come. So, you know, that's some shraddha is there because of the spouse. Like something is going on, some fundraising is happening, somebody is raising money. Okay, well, we don't know what that whole thing is, but since you're doing it, you're my friend, I'll give you money. So some shraddha is there. So that's, and in this Asian world, why this is important, you know, we just had Diwali function and we had Navratri, and we know that applies to every festival. First generations, you know, we have, say, shraddha. We have a lot of faith, but we don't have any shastra. So we don't know how to do it. We haven't read the scriptures. So, for example, we have seen our own mom and dad. How did they do the Diwali puja? How they do a particular, austerity? So we just follow them the way they do it, right? So we do, but we don't know if it's right or wrong because we don't know if it's written like that in the shastra. So we just do it. So a mom and dad are not here, so the way we have learnt it from them, so we keep on doing it like that. We may be making a mistake, we don't know, but we keep on doing that. Gradually with time, we also start forgetting things. Like, to be honest with you, I forgot the story of Karva Chauth. So like when I was a child, I used to make all those drawings and the paintings, you know, for my mom, you know, running outside to see what time the moon is going to come. You know, we still do that, but I forgot the story of Karva Chauth. So, you know, I was looking at it so that I could teach it to my kids. So that, okay, this is why we do it. This is the story behind it. And our kids, we forget. They further forget. And then gradually down the road, it goes away. So that even that is gone. That is the relevance of having, of course, the faith, but the shastra also. So we know what is actually written and how to do it the right way. And that applies to all the religion, not just our Hinduism, not just to our festivals. But this is why this is so important. So that's why this relates to the first shloka. Those people who have the faith, but they don't have any shastra. And in the second one, Bhagavan is saying, people have three kind of faiths. We remember the 14th chapter, the the trigunic, the three aspects, the sattva, rajas, tamas aspects of maya, and otherwise also. So this relates to those fate. The people have three kinds of fate: sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. And Bhagwan just leaves it at that. He's not saying you do this or you do that. He says there are three kinds of fate. Now you do whatever you want. Like as in Big Boss Salman says, now this is it. Now you do whatever you want. So Bhagwan has mentioned this is it. These are the three kinds of fates: sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. Now, and then in the third one, he's saying people who have abundance of whatever faith they have, that's how they become. Like we all read and hear, like whatever our mind is, we end up being like that. Whatever we do or whatever we believe in, we become, end up being like that. That's what Bhagwan is also saying here. So if we think of it like that, it brings in the aspect of cause and effect. Like here we all, okay, since we do this, this is going to happen. Since we do this, this is what's going to happen. So of all the births that we have had, all the numerous births that we have had, all the vasanas, all the dirt that we have accumulated in our mind over the births, that's how our nature becomes. That's what our vasanas are. So that gives birth to our nature. So our nature becomes like that. So whatever we have done, that becomes our faith. And based on faith, we act in this world. So essentially, faith is that propels us to engage in this world, whatever endeavor we take up, whatever field of activity that we take up, we act in that field based on whatever our faith is, whatever our vasanas are, that propel us to do that. Somebody has a natural inclination to be in the stock market. They are good with money. They are good with finances. Some people are good musicians. Some people are good physicians. Some people are good administrators. So, and they excel in those fields. They have that talent, what we say. So that aspect, that thing is the faith. With what they have, they engage in this field and they excel in that. So that becomes our habit because we start doing it like that. And when we develop a habit, our habit becomes our nature. So back to square one. And because of that nature, our faith becomes like that. So we go round and round and round and round and round. So nature, faith, actions, habits, vasanas, nature. Like that. We go in the circle round and round and round. To come out of this circle, we have to make a cut somewhere. So unless that cut happens, we will go round and round. So that's that. And then if we think upon it, and if we take a pause and we look at ourselves, like where are we? Where am I as an individual? What did I get from engaging in this world on my own? What did I get from my parents, my family? What did I get from my community? And what did that do to me? You know, when people say that we impose our religion, we impose our faith, we impose our values on our children. So we're just imposing things. You know, we're not letting the kids do things on their own, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, we are telling them what to do, what this, do this, do that. So when the children are born, newborn, right? So we recently saw that in the movie also. When the kids are born, you know, there's no religion, right? So in the movie PK, the guy was just going and picking up the children, seeing where the stamp of religion, has anybody put a religion stamp on the child? There's nothing like that. But the religion is imposed on the child by the parents. Because at that time, parents, according to their belief, what they think is right, what they have read, are going to impart and impose religion. Of course, they are going to impose the fact that wear clothes like this, you know, go to that school, talk like this. So that's how a person starts growing up. And then they see in their family Like, okay, my mom and dad are doing this, they're reading this, they have some difficulty in life, you know, they are turning to the scriptures, they are seeking help and guidance from the scriptures, and they're engaging in activities like that. And that's how we always have this question, my child, my son, my daughter, right? So, and we tell them to do, but unless we do it, the child is not going to do that himself or herself. So we do it, and that's how I grow up. And that becomes a part of my society, my community, and my nation. And that's what happens. And that's how I'm going to engage. And that's what the collection of people makes a samaj or a society. We see like this samaj is, this community is like this. We see fighting going on. That samaj is like that because they grow up. They see their parents. They see other peers like that. And that forms this society, nation that engages in whatever they do. So, for example, like, you know, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, any celebration, like in Eastern culture, we light a lamp. Because it's considered to be a symbol of knowledge. So, lighting a lamp. In Western culture, we blow the lamp, right? Happy birthday. So, that's how we you know, that's the difference in the culture. That's how these things happen. So we light a lamp, some places the lamp gets blown up. So that's that. So now concluding that, now the three kinds of Shraddhas, now this is a self-assessment test. We all want to know, what am I like? What is my own nature? Where do am I? We all want to think that I am a very sattvic person. Everybody wants to believe that. We all like to think that. So Bhagwan, like in the 14th chapter, he gave us a self-assessment test. So he's asking us, let's take a self-assessment test. Let's test where we are and see what do you think about yourself. So let's chant our shloka number 4. Yajante sattvika devan.
Yajante sattvika devan.
Yakshalakshamsi Rajasaha.
Yakshalakshamsi Rajasaha.
Pretan Bhutagaram Shanya.
Pretan Bhutagaram Shanya.
Yajante Tam Sajanaha.
Yajante Tam Sajanaha.
Yojanaha, those people who do yajnam of devas, gods. They are sattviki people. Yojanaha yajante, those people who do yajnam or worship of yaksha, rakshasas, not rakshasas, but yaksha raksha, like Kuber and brothers of Kubers. They're called yaksha and raksha. They're rajasic people. And those people who worship pretas, bhoots, pishachs, they are tamasic people. So that's the meaning, simple meaning of this shloka. So we think that, like this morning I have done my prayer to my God. So I'm worshipping God. So I'm a sattviki person. But in reality, when I did my puja, what did I have in mind? Did I ask for liberation for myself? Did I ask for moksha? Did I ask for my own mental well-being? Or did I do puja with God? I'm having a problem. I've gone to the temple with the problem that I'm having with my child, in my business. I'm losing money somewhere else, or I'm hating someone, so you know, I just want to take revenge, and I'm seeking Lord's blessings. So this is what we have to look at. Like Swamiji was here, Ishwaranandji, he mentioned the importance of Navratri. So when we do Lord Lakshmi's puja, the wealth we should ask for is the mental well-being, that wealth of that, the physical well-being. And rest will all follow. That is the wealth that we want, not the paper wealth. So that is, if we don't have that aspect, then we are not falling in that sattvic category. So that's where we lose that. And then there are people who worship yakshas, like Kuber Rakshas. Kuber's and brothers of Kuber's, they are asking for wealth. He's a finance minister. And he is the one who has all the wealth, who has all the money. There are people, you know, if you, in India, you see those people, jewelers, you know. They have the tons of money sitting there. They have those Kuber Murti sitting there, big golden Murti sitting there with so much money there. You know, in fact, when I went some time ago to get my money exchanged, you know, those jewelers, you know, you give them some dollars and then they give you the money and then they put, like, he's sitting there behind the counter, you'll take the money from you, you'll throw it on the ground like that. So it's like accumulating money on the both the sides and then just put it in their lockers like that. And in the people who make sweets, you know, they literally put the cash in a big boris and then they tie the boris. So bore mein bhar ke log paise le jaate hain, right? They literally do it like that. So hear what he is meaning, what Gurudev has said. People who engage and make friends with people who are rich, yakshas like Kubera who are rich, who have a lot of money, and rakshasas are people who have a lot of strength and power. So like gundas and mawalis, right? So people who are powerful and rich in the society, people want to engage and make friends with. For example, they engage in, like throwing a party, to extend their network, contacts. They are driven by desire, success, achievement, money, position, fame, name. So they are going to engage in those activities and they are going to, make contacts like that, you know, and then they will give bribes to get that position, to get that kind of contract, accumulating money and wealth. So that's the rajasic aspect. They're totally driven by the desire, fanning desire, passion, money, success. So that's that aspect. And they will be surrounded. You know, we see movies when they have those people and who are rich and powerful, and they will have few people, they are always tagged along, called the chamchas, right? The small chamchas who are walking with those people. Just so that they can be in that group or category, that they're also rich and powerful because they're hanging out with rich and powerful people. In fact, Swami Akhandanand Maharaji says, you know, somebody who's rich and powerful and, you know, he thinks that he's a big person in society. To be a big person in society and to be a big person, there is a difference. To be actually big and what appears to be like big. If somebody thinks that I am big and famous because I have a big house and if I have a lot of money, so then that fame belongs to the money and the house. If that thing is gone, what do I have? So that bigness came because of the money and the house. If that is gone, then where is the bigness? So that is again a superimposition on that individual by the money and the fame. So that is that aspect. And in fact, here Guruji, Swami Tejamananji also mentioned, again, as we spoke in the beginning of this, like, why do we have this problem? Why can't we hang on to our knowledge? So, you know, a lot of people say that, like, I'm doing so much of an effort. I'm doing my prayers. I do good. I'm a good person. I help people. But still, I'm not happy. So, what sadhana should I do? What should I do? And some people think that, okay, I'm doing it, but how to make it more powerful? What do I do that I make it fast forward? Or intensify my sadhana. So a lot of people have this thing. So at the end of the day, it boils down to like how much purity one has in his or her mind. I have had the very good fortune of knowing Swami Bodhatmananji. He was here in US. He was working in Florida. And then he started his journey about 16, 17 years ago. And today he is a resident acharya of teaching the Vedanta course in Sandeepani, Mumbai. some people, when they have so much purity in their mind, they just fast forward, they just rise and rise very fast. Guruji handpicked him from his batch of his students, gave him a diksha ahead of his peers, and now he's coaching and he's teaching the students. So the point is how much purity an individual has, and this is what we if we understand this aspect, this is going to help us immensely. So, you know, in all these chapters you have read, like, a devotee should have these qualities, you know, he should have these, like, 12 qualities, 26 qualities. I don't remember that. 12, 26, 24. I have a hard time remembering. Who's going to remember all that? Too many things to remember. So Guruji has simplified it. Very, very simple. He said, do sadhana as, and just remember three more S's. First is your snanam, bath, cleanliness. Second S is your sandhya, puja, prayer. Third S is your swadhyaya, scriptures, reading the scriptures. So he says, just remember three S's, snanam, sandhya, and swadhyaya. So snanam is, you know, we think of just our bath. We all take a bath every day. What's the big deal about that? So he says, when you're taking your bath in the morning, as the water, you're pouring the water on you, just have this feeling that this water is the holy Ganga itself. This is purifying your body. This is cleaning your body. Just imagine all the holy waters of all the holy rivers, the Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, and this is cleaning not only our body, but it's also purifying our mind. So the physical cleanliness comes, the health comes, that aspect comes. Have that aspect to begin with. This is the first thing that we can do in the day to ourselves, to have that feeling of cleanliness. It was right here in this class. I remember I was sitting in a class and there was a lady in front of me. Some gentleman came, and then after that, the lady couldn't sit comfortably. She was just doing it because she could smell, and she made a remark that this person is smelling of something. And after that, I have not seen that lady here in this class. So the point is, you know, cleanliness, not only the physical cleanliness, it helps purify our mind also. So having that, doing our whatever mantras we do, we can do that. But physical health and the cleanliness is the first thing that we can do ourselves. And then the sandhya ones, so basically prayer and the worship. So we have to make sure that we do our prayer in front of the Lord and spend some time there, and we do our japas. The whatever japas that we are going to do, it's going to help, again, bring the purity in our vani, in our speech and in our mind. It's going to help with our focus and the concentration also in the mind aspect. Why is it needed? Why is it needed to do the prayer in front of the Lord? You know, we have heard of this example that, you know, we have to tune to a station, we have to tune in, and that's when the clarity comes. It's like having a bond. A simple bond like a mother and child. A bond between a mother and child is not going to be there if the mother is not spending any time with the baby. So, to have that bond of love and compassion and oneness, the time is spent, has to be spent. Two lovers, they need to invest time in their relationship to have a good bond. Otherwise, the bondness, the love and the compassion is not going to be there. Between two friends, everywhere, husband, wife, we have to spend that time, we have to invest that in a relationship. Otherwise, it's not there. You know, we all think, okay, well, we come from our bathroom, we go to the in front of the Lord, we put a agarbatti, light up the lamp, and then you walk away. Chalte firte, utte baithte, khate pite, aise nahi chalta. You know, we have to make sure that we sit in front of the Lord, we spend our time, we develop a bond, and that's when that oneness, aspect of oneness, love, frame, compassion, it starts to come slowly, slowly, slowly. There was a story that was once mentioned. A young girl, her father, he was a very busy businessman. So they called the father, you know, the teacher called the father to the school. You know, you need to come, there's a problem. So the father was very irritated. He said, you know, I don't want to come, I'm a busy man. You know, you just tell, you know, I'll send the kid to you in the school, you take care of the child. Why should I come? No, you have to come. So the father goes, you know, fuming, you know, I have a meeting, you know, I need to go early, tell me what is it. So the teacher says, here's, you know, there's a project that the teacher gave the child, my family, and draw a picture of my family. So that the child drew the picture of everybody in the family, including the dog, but not the dad. So the teacher showed it to the father and say, okay, well, here it is. The father was kind of shocked. Like, why am I not here in the pictures? Teacher said, you tell me, why are you not here in the picture? Because the child, she hardly sees the father. He's hardly around. So that bond, we are not spending the time here with the Lord. Once we do that, you know, and once we have this attitude, see, this is all action part. Like, we are doing our bathing, we are all doing the puja. And then the third aspect is, of course, our scriptures. We read our shastra so that we get some knowledge on why we are doing that. Once we have that, it will bring us the clarity in our mind. So we, you know, going back to our BMI charts, we have done the body aspect with a taking a bath. We have done the cleanliness. Then the mind aspect we have done with the puja, the prayer that we have done, the worship that we have done in front of the Lord. The intellect part is taken care of by reading the scripture that gives us the knowledge on why we are doing that. So this is all action based. We can't do this 24 hours of the day. You know, some things we do and then some things automatically happen. Like, we eat food, we put the food in our mouth, then it goes down by itself and the stomach is going to take over. It's going to start digesting. So that part is automatically happening. So same part, we have to do this action part, then we have to let some things to happen by on their own. And then we see the magic. You know, once these things happen, it becomes so fascinating. We start dropping off so many things. Like, we do this, it brings such a strong discipline in the life. So that, you know, we do all this, next day we have to get up early. Because we have to do our bath, we have to do our prayer. So naturally, we stop going to late night parties. We automatically stop going to late night functions, you know, all those things that happen late night. So that brings a discipline in the life itself. So this is the activity part, and then something is going to happen. And then the attitude, like, I go to my work, I have to have this attitude in my mind that whatever I'm doing in this world, this job, this thing that I'm doing, it is for the Lord Himself. It is the Lord Himself who's in front of me that I'm taking care of. And then once we have this, there's no problem. Whatever happens, my Lord is with me. He will take care of it. Let whatever happen. Nothing will be wrong. So once this happens, it gives so much immense joy and pleasure in doing all this. We are totally, you know, occupied in this. And then the rest of the things of the world just fall off on their own. So he mentioned that just do these three simple S's. The snanam, the sandhya, which is the prayer, and then the scripture. And then the best scripture that we can do is our Gita, Bhagavad Gita itself. That we can keep with us, that we can read some portions, some shlokas, maybe one or two every day. It keeps us in touch with the reality. It gives us a reality check where we stand. What am I like? Am I more of a sattvic nature? Am I approaching the Lord with the aspect of seeking clarity for me and my own self? Or am I approaching the Lord with some purpose? I need wealth, I need this, I need something for my husband, wife, daughter, then that will bring us in the Rajasic category. And then we definitely don't want to be in the Tamasic category, like the politicians, the employees, the people who have criminal intent, you know, gundas, and, you know, they engage, you know, in how we see in the movies, they give saparis, okay, we give you this much money, and now go, you know, breaking the hand is like 100 rupees, you know, breaking the leg is like 200 rupees, you know. So there's a rate fix for all of these things in India, probably here also. So we don't want those, we definitely do not want to be in that category. So this is a very good self-assessment check. And then he will keep on talking about all of this also further down, including the food that we consume, the kind of food that we consume, what we are consuming, what makes us go and reach for that food. Where there are like five or six different dishes, what makes us go and drive and reach for that plate or reach for that dish. So he will keep on talking about all those things also. But this is what it is. This is the reason why we can't hang on to the knowledge that the Lord gave to us in the 15th chapter. So he's going to keep on dwelling on it more and more and more and more. This is so wonderful. And again, it is just for ourselves, not for my friend, not for my wife, not for my neighbor, not for anybody. This is just for me and myself. And let other people think whatever they do. We can take a short break here and invite some questions, some discussions, some thoughts.
All these messages are there.
No, thank you. See, that I think that's what it is. This when we speak about the sadhana aspect, because we, our own true nature is the absolute power of, and the absolute reality itself as it is. But we don't know that. And since we don't know that, we have to do the sadhana. We have to do this. We have to go, say, to a city, say, Bay Area, and we start from here. And the longer we take, say, we stop on a road to, say, have a cup of coffee, or then a snack, then we see, okay, let's get some almonds, and then let's get some fruit. The longer we take, the longer it's going to take us to get to that goal. It's absolutely the same way here. The longer we take, we'll do like one thing once a month, then it's going to take us longer to do that. So that is because our own nature is siddh or proof, it's there as it is. But since we don't know this, we have to do this to get to the sadhya, which is already siddh. To get to something which is already there that we don't know, that's why we have to take this whole route. And then again, as you said, the good reality check is like Friday evening, somebody is coming, Swamiji is here, and then we also have an invitation for a party. So like, what would somebody do? So according to Lord's own words or Gurudev's words, somebody who has a clear sattvic intent, there's no question, that person is going to go to the lecture, or going to go to the satsang, going to go get to the teaching. And the versus some people who would choose to do something else. There's nothing wrong in going to a party. Then again, what time we go, what time we come back, because I have to get up early in the morning, the next day we have to do our discipline, we have to do our studies. So these are the kind of things that can tell us, like, if I choose to do what kind of faith I have. Suppose I move from one city to a different city. So what's going to make me decide? Am I going to look for something like a mission or something like like-minded people that I can do my satsang with, do my study group with, talk about things? Or am I going to look for, you know, places which has loaded with nightlife, you know, nightclubs and, you know, a lot of happening places? Or, you know, am I going to pick up something which will help me engage a lot of contacts and networks? I can get to know a lot of people who have a lot of contacts and high people in the society. So those are the kind of things that tell us like where we are. And that helps us in our own reality check. Like where do I stand? And at the end of the day, it is just for ourselves. Lord is everywhere. Lord is me itself. Maya tatam idam sarvam, as we said in the beginning. So nothing is hidden from the Lord. And we think that we are smart enough and we can do things at our own pace. But I mean, at the end of the day, we have to answer ourselves.
You said end of the day, ourselves, right? Then why we are doing so much of karma? Why I'm getting up early for my kids? Why I'm making them ready? Why I have to do all this?
This is what the importance of knowing the sadhana, right? This is what we talked about. Like if we understand, like, what are we here for, what is the importance of doing the sadhana, and what are we doing this for? If we take it as a burden that we have to get up early in the morning because we have to do this, that's going to be such a drag. It's very easy for you to get irritable. Then you're going to snap on your husband also. Because, you know, see, what happens is all of these things, by the time we step out of our house, nothing is in our control. Or the events of the day are going to dictate how we are going to act during the day. As simple as that. I guarantee you, you step out of the house, nothing is in our control. So whatever is in our control in the beginning of the day, you know, we have this, you know, I'm doing this. Oh God, this is the holy water. This is Ganga. This is Yamuna. This is Saraswati. This cleans me. I'm spending the time in front of the Lord. I'm doing my prayer. I've read some Shastra. I've read like at least one Shloka. Okay, and then have the attitude after that whatever I do in this world is for the Lord, because at the end of the day, it is the Lord Himself in me, in my child, in my table, in the food, in the book, everywhere. So there is no difference between me and Him. I'm going to identify totally. I surrender myself totally to the Lord. And then you see, this is what killing of the ego is. Right? You just surrender. Like, you know, Swami Ishwarananda said, surrender. Surrender. You know, there was a joke. A man, when he is wrong, and when he surrenders, he is a wise man. And when a man, when he surrenders, when he is right, that's a husband. He's going to surrender even though he's going to right. So the point is, you know, just surrender the ego. And you're not doing it for yourself. But because as long as the body identity is going to be there, we are always going to make a distinction. And that's what... You know, I made this chart for the certain purpose, and we can talk about this in the next few minutes. And this is going to explain to us why we have to get rid of this body identity. Because if we keep on thinking that I am this five elements, and again, since you are talking about this, let's touch upon this aspect. These are the basics of the knowledge for our Shastra. We have Tattva Bodh is a very good book. It's in the office. If we can read that book, it's going to tell us, you know, in everything in this world is made of five elements: space, air, fire, water, earth. We all know that. So very simple, most basic aspect. So everything in this world is made of these five aspects, right? So these five elements, now they, space through space, sound travels. Right? And it's going to reach our ear. Okay. And the deity for that is Dig. It's just a name. Just hang on to the name, Dig. And then the organ of action for that is on the other chart, if you can read that. That's the tongue. Alright? And then the deity for that is the Agni. And then the action is speech. So just going by down the whole chart, so the space, air, fire, water, earth, these are going to be associated with the five sense aspects. The touch, the sound, touch, form, taste, smell. Everything in this world is dependent on these five things. Okay. So as we have read in the 14th chapter and as we are reading in this 17th chapter, Maya, everything is basically just imagine three: sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. Our mind, which is the biggest creator of all problems, mind comes from the sattvic aspect of these five elements. Mind, ego, intellect, and memory. This is from the sattvic aspect of these five elements. What makes us this body? Okay, so mind is itself is sattvic. It has all the sattvic elements what we are talking about. Then what happens? The Scotch-Brite to clean our dishes, a new, brand new, perfectly clean. 1 month later, what happens? All the dirt. Same thing happens to our mind also. All this dirt accumulates, that have like a Scotch-Brite, same thing happens to your mind. Mind is the one that helps decide, not decide, indecision, it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the deity of that mind is moon. It depends on moon. So moon goes, some people's mind changes according to the moon, the lunar aspect. That's why some people are lunatics, right? We call them lunatics, right? Lunar. So mind, their mind vacillates, goes back and forth, they cannot decide. So that's the lunar aspect of the moon aspect of the mind. Then there's ego. I am the one who did this. I am the one who has to wake up in the morning and make food for my breakfast for my kids. My husband doesn't help me. He doesn't wake up. He doesn't help me bathe the kids. He doesn't help me, clothe the kids. I am the one who has to go to the school and drop the kids. I am the one who's doing that. I don't even get paid for doing this. So that becomes the ego aspect, right? Intellect is the one that tells us what is right and wrong. And then if you know that I'm a mom, these are my kids, you identify, that's the intellect aspect. This is the right thing to do. And then the memory, you memorize things and, stuff like that. So these are all in the sattvic aspect. But they, over a period of time, what we think because of the ego, what we have, I am the one who does this. I am the one, who's not getting any credit. I have no help, and nobody is even acknowledging that fact. And that takes us down. And because of that, all the problems are created in this world. I'll tell you one more example. Very simple thing. Let's think about this. A body and mind, right? What do you think happens? Mind is inside the body or body is inside the mind? What do you think? Let's hear some answers.
Body operates through the mind.
No, that just sounds a simple thing. Okay. But that is the fact. We know that because body has to work on through some vital energy, right? So that is there. But which is inside what? Mind is inside this body or this body is inside the mind? Mind is internal.
It's a thought. Mind is nothing but the thoughts. So that's why it's part of the subtle world.
Yeah. Let's hear some more. Satishi.
I think it's like what he says. I mean, because mind controls the body.
Mm-hmm. Controls
mind
it from the inside
the
or outside?
So I would say, in physicality, point of view, like he said, one is subtle, the other one is, real, physical. So, but if we consider both physical, then I would say the body is in the mind.
Yes, a yes or no answer.
That's what I'm saying. So the body, body is in the mind.
Body is in the mind.
Right.
Yeah. See, mind, we can, I think I'm a physical body. I close my eyes and mind will take off. It will go to UK, London, wherever, right? It will go like this and come back like this. And I'm still sitting here. The body is still sitting here. The physical body is sitting here, right? But the mind just takes off. So I'm able to know my body, this thing, through my mind. If I didn't have a mind, I couldn't have seen my body. So the mind has seen my body and I know my body through the mind. So I naturally know that I'm not this body. A simple, most simple basic aspect. I know right then and there itself that I am not this body. Because I'm seeing my body through my mind. And there has to be a substratum for the mind, which is I, which is a totality, Brahman. We'll think about it later. But if we just think that my mind dictates the whole thing, and I know right then and there, through my mind, I see my body, so I am not my body. So let's drop this thought that I'm toiling, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not that anyway. So let's not worry about that aspect. And the mind is something that wants to run away all the time. He doesn't want to stay at home. He always wants to go and live in the neighbor's house. You know, there's a joke, like, you know, there's a, every child is a perfect child is yours and every neighbor has a perfect wife, right? So the mind runs away. He's always, you know, he sits at one place. And then there's a certain thing called boredom. Then he gets bored. Then he wants to go somewhere else. Then he wants to go somewhere else. So that's how mind is. It keeps on moving around. So the whole circus is bringing that mind back to control with our sadhana.
So one of the strategies that no matter wherever the mind goes all over the world.
Right.
But the body only goes to one place.
Right.
That is to death.
Right.
That is the only place it goes.
Right.
Mind goes everywhere.
Right.
It's and so profound.
Right, right, right. And the beauty of mind is, you know, we think about like everything in this world we know through, for example, I want to know my name, right? So we think, okay, substratum, we were watching a movie, white screen, and then the images fall on that and we see a movie, right? Same thing, imagine a blank plain white paper. On that blank plain white paper, we make a mark, round mark, a point. Okay. If we have to write an alphabet, say A. So how we teach in to our kids, we like make a one point, then we make another point, another point, another point. So we connect those points with a line, right? So that's how we make that letter A. But if we look at that line microscopically, that line is also made of multiple points. That's how we make a line. So starting from nothing, we have put a mark, we have made a line, and then we write another alphabet. So that point, that line, that letter, alphabet, and then that word, and then we write another word that makes a sentence that gives a meaning. So out of nothing, we have imagined this line and we have written a sentence. This is all imagined. And then what gives the meaning to that is our mind. Like if I see something, like if I see this is a form, my eyes are telling me, but my eyes cannot tell me what this is. My mind tells me that this is a chair. Like I see a lady, I see a form of a lady. My mind tells me that this is my mother, this is my sister. My eyes don't tell me that. So this is all a part of our sanskaras over the years that has been put in our mind that this is your wife, this is your sister. So these are all imagined. So these are all lines that we have done and that those words have a particular meaning. So if you look at it, this whole world is a collection of lines. We've drawn it. All these forms and figures, man, woman, religions, children, they're all collection of lines, nothing more than that. And then we give a meaning to those, that is all imagined. So out of nothing, we have put a dot, line, words, sentences, meaning, which are all imagined in our mind. If the mind is nothing, if the mind is gone, there's nothing anyway. So this is why mind is a big problem. So to control the mind, we do all this sadhana and just keep it just to keep it quiet, you know, so otherwise the mind will run. It will bother us. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Like how you said, like after death, the physical body goes to death. What happens? People ask, what happens to my soul? What happens to my atma? Where does it go? Right? Your subtle body, right? We die, right? Very simple. This class will get over. We will all get up and go wherever our vasanas take us, right? Same thing happens to us at the death. We all take off like we are going to do right now. Same thing happens to us after death. So our mind, if we just do this sadhana and just have this attitude that I'm going to stay in the Lord, totally dependent on the Lord, because this is Lord, this is the 15th chapter. If we can go through that, that'll be wonderful. Such an immense knowledge that God has given us. And then why we are not able to hold on to this is the 16th, 17th and 18th chapter. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to do. This is how we put a reality check on ourselves. And why are we lagging behind? Why can't we do it? It's because of these aspects that we hang on to this body. And then we think about all these things. I was thinking of going on to that, but we are falling behind. I have completed only one shloka here today. Any other thoughts?
I think the beauty of this is that the Lord tells us the same thing over and over and over again. The reason being is because He created us. He knew who we are,
right.
Or what we are.
Right.
So, and like He says, that only the cream of the crop will come to me.
Right.
Even after telling all these things to each individual, you know, only few of us are going to adhere to that.
Right.
So He knows that.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it, how he knows, and He keeps going over and over and over again.
Right. I mean, in the battlefield, you know, Bhagwan created that scene, He created that situation, then He gave this knowledge to Arjuna, and then, you know, Arjuna fought this war with the knowledge. And, you know, it's said that Arjuna didn't achieve realization there. It was only later on, when Bhagwan Himself left, it was then that He attained His realization, and then, you know, then all the brothers went up to the Himalayas. So and everything's happened in with their own pace, not getting into those technicalities, we have to state the message, what the message is, and again it is just for ourselves, and for our family and for everybody.
Nicely, but again, the daily duties you have to do,
right?
As she was saying, what motive and attitude we have,
right?
And as long as we are not doing it, oh, because we can take care of our children, so then we are all they will say, we don't have ever that kind of motive. So,
right.
Attitude where the scripture helps you, what
yeah.
kind of attitude you have, you do it as a Lord, you know, you see, Lord in family, and you do it your duty, and that's why. Because without action, you cannot live. So,
right.
So I think scripture always helps you, tells you
right.
right and wrong, and how you do your daily duties then.
Right, right.
And that will be meaningful. Then you just have to get up or take care or just say something.
Right.
You have the attitude of service, or you see the God, then it makes it easy.
Right. It gives so much happiness. I think it brings so much happiness. You know, whatever happens, we can just take it head on, I'm telling you. It doesn't bother as much. And then gradually, as we get stronger and stronger, it doesn't bother at all. And it is such a joy to study, to read, to just walk around thinking about this thing all the time. It happens gradually. Bolte na chaska lag jata ek baar. You know, once you taste it, you don't want to give it up. It is so much happiness, so much bliss.
It's a one-way street.
Haji?
It's only
one-way
street.
One-way street. Right. Ekla chalo rahe.
Yeah.
I think we should close. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha. Hari Om.